The name of this series is Good God Almighty. Isn't God good? Man, all the time God's good. And we talked a few months back in another series I was doing about the foundations of our faith and how we as Christ's church in the world, but Christ's church right here in Waller, if we don't have that down, that God is good, then that's going to affect a lot of things that we do, including our faith, our trust, our ability to go out and tell others, our desire to see God's name be made known. And so I said, hey, I just want to take the last part of this year to do a series saying, why is it so important? What does it mean that God is good? And so we're going to walk through these last 6 weeks of the year just looking at the 23rd Psalm, because it is just a beautiful picture of the goodness of God. And we're not going to sidestep the fact that sometimes life is hard, sometimes the enemies come, sometimes we go through the dark times, but that does not change the fact that God is good. And so last week we started with that verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And we just talked about what is a shepherd. And we said this, a shepherd in our lives is one who leads, feeds, and meets our needs. Leads, feeds. So our shepherd is there to lead us. Sometimes we don't want to be led. But a good shepherd, even when the sheep doesn't want to be led, is going to lead the sheep. And the shepherd's going to feed us. And here today, I hope that as we partake of God's word, as we partake of God's fellowship, and as we meet in God's church, that we get fed today. And God meets our needs. And we talked about this week, I just challenged you this week, that whenever you start questioning or going or you get worried about God, just kind of think about God is my shepherd. God is my shepherd. In fact, I told you, you might even set an alarm on your clock. Alarm on your phone, 10, 2, and 4, kind of say, when that goes off, I'm just going to sit here for a second and go, I've got a shepherd. And my shepherd is going to lead me. He's going to feed me. And whatever need I'm worried about, he's working on it already. So that's going to bring us now to Psalms chapter 23, and we're going to go through basically verses 1 and 2, but 1, 2, and 3, this is the good part. This is where, I think the goodness of God is something that is just so apparent in what these verses say. Let's go ahead and read it. Psalms 23, verses 2 says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." Verse 3, "He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." Now, this is the part I like about God, right? When God is leading me to green pastures, oh, that's good. I like some green pastures. When God is leading me to quiet waters, there's so many times it's crazy tumultuous waters in our life. So those quiet waters, boy, I can see God's goodness in that. When God is refreshing my soul, oh man, that just sounds so good. So today it's not going to be hard. I'm not going to have to do a lot of convincing for you. I'm not going to have to say, look, this is why in times that things are good, that God is good, right? I mean, we know that and we enjoy that and we can see that. So a couple of things I want to kind of nail down on here is God saying that he brings us to lie down in green pastures. So I want to talk about rest today. I'm going to talk about rest. I also want to talk about how God brings us to places of abundance sometimes, and in those green pasture moments, in those quiet water moments, sometimes we get so distracted we don't even see it, and how sometimes we have to stop to notice the green pastures and stop and notice the still waters. And then next week, my friend Roy Wooten, Roy, if y'all don't know Roy, he runs a national men's ministry that really helps men do what he calls soul work. So I'm going to ask him next week to come up, and he's going to bring a message on what does it mean for God to refresh our souls. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. That's going to be great, Roy. But today, let's go back to that idea of rest. It says in verse number 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, the first thing I do when I read that is I'm going, I like to lie down, God. I mean, I don't know about you guys. We get going and we get going and we get going. And rest is really something that we should enjoy. And so I think it's interesting right there that it says that God has to sometimes make us lie down. So sometimes God's got to go, whoa, in your life. You're doing so much for God. You're doing so much for the church. You're doing so much for your family. You're doing so much for your schoolwork. You're doing so much, and it's go, 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 go. And God just says, wait a minute. As your shepherd, to be good to you, I need to remind you, lie down. Lie down for a minute. Get some rest. I think it's incredible that when we look at the scriptures, we see one that God modeled rest. He modeled rest, right? It says that for 6 days he created, and on the seventh day he said, I'm going to rest. Now, does the eternal God of the world with all power, all ability, all everything, you know, physically does he need to rest? No, but here's what God says. I'm going to model it for you. I'm going to do my work, and then I'm going to take a day, and I'm going to rest. And we're going to talk about that modeling in just a minute. He commands it, right? Top 10, God's top 10 commandments, the 10 commandments right there in Exodus 20. You should have no other God before me. You shouldn't bow down to idols. You shouldn't kill. You shouldn't steal. You shouldn't commit adultery. You shouldn't go around coveting things. I mean, all these big, big things that God says you need to obey your mom and dad. That's a big one. Where's my students over here? Hey, Sarah, it's good to see you, babe. You need to obey your mom. I mean, those are in that top 10 list. But right there, in the middle of the top 10, do you know what commandment God spent the most words on in Exodus 20? Yeah, it's the one that said that you should have a Sabbath day. You should have a Sabbath day. Let's turn to that real quick. And kind of let me read that to you in Exodus chapter 20. Pull it over here. It says, right here, it says, remember, in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter or your male or your female servant, nor your animals. I mean, this is God really getting specific, right? He said, even your cow shouldn't be doing work. He said, nor your animals, nor a foreigner residing in your town. And then it says in verse 11, for 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that was in it, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the day the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. Now, I want you to kind of look at that for a second, because a lot of times we go to that verse to say we need to be in church on Sunday, right? Do we need to be in church on our Sabbath day? And listen, there are lots of things where I can tell you that is a correct statement. You do need to be in church on Sunday. But that's not what that verse is talking about. It never mentions church one time. It mentions rest. And it brings back up the model that God had. And he said, you need a Sabbath rest. And in fact, God said, you need it so much, I want to make a holy day where my people can just rest. Wasn't God good? It's incredible. This 7-day work week, it's universal. Why do we have a 7-day work week? Yeah, there's not. I mean, if you look, there's not anything scientific basically that says 7 days. But throughout the world, there's a rhythm of work 6 days and take a day off. Work at it 6 days, take a day off. They tried to change it before. They've tried to make it like a 10-day work week in some countries. And the rhythm just doesn't work. I think it's because God made it holy. So we see that God modeled it. He commanded it. And then we see he shepherds us towards it, right? I make you lie down in those green pastures. So this morning, I just want to take a few minutes to talk about why is rest important? Why, as a Christian, we shouldn't just say, oh, you know, yeah, I want to get some rest, or, you know, rest is okay. But we should just really, like I said, it's in God's top 10. We should really grab a hold of this and say, why is it so important to God? So here's the number one thing. Number one in my outline. It's not the number one thing, but it's number one in my outline. Our good God gives us rest because it's physically good for us. Because it's physically good for us. I mean, God cares about you physically. If you are not physically at the top of your game, you definitely can't go out there and share Christ with anybody. You definitely can't take up your role as the husband or the father or the wife or the mother or if you're just exhausted. Do y'all ever get so exhausted you say things you don't mean to say? Do things you're not meant to do, you know. Do you ever have that, make that apology and say, honey, I'm so sorry I said that. I was just really exhausted yesterday, and I wasn't guarding my tongue. You see, God knows that rest is good for us. I found this story. It says, in Japan right now, they have coined a new phrase. I think it's in like the last 30 years. It wasn't in their dictionary before then, but they had to coin a brand new phrase. That brand new phrase, a word, is karoshi. Karoshi. Just coined recently, it literally means working yourself to death. Working yourself to death. They had to coin a word because so many people in that society were working 100, 120, 160 hours a week at their jobs. And they were dying at their workstations. And they had to come up with a word that wasn't there before, karoshi. So that when someone has a karoshi event, it means they were working insane hours under tremendous stress with little or no rest. Man, I hope we never have to do that here in America to come up with that phrase. But I see it sometimes, right? Sometimes we just get so intense about, I gotta do, I gotta do, I gotta do, I gotta do, that we just lose track that God calls us to rest. God calls us to take care of ourselves physically so we don't die from being on our jobs. I just looked up a few things. When God created you, here's what rest does for you. Rest gives you better mental health. Better mental health. Rest increases your ability to concentrate and increases your memory. Rest. It makes your immune system healthier. Rest. It reduces stress in your life. Rest. It improves your mood and gives you a better metabolism. Rest. Now, there's all kinds of ways to rest, right? I mean, right now, let's do this. Everybody just take a deep, slow breath and exhale. Can you see what just a second of rest does? Just a second of rest, and your shoulders relax a little bit, and it brings you kind of in tune with what's going on around you. See, God said it's healthy to rest. You know, every night, are you? And it sounds crazy coming to church and have your pastor kind of talk to you about getting 8 hours of sleep. But it's true. God, when he developed the day, separated the night from the daylight, I think there was, once again, that rhythm that God says, that I'm going to give you daylight to work, but at night, I'm going to give you time to rest, to let go of what's happened during the day, and to let yourself go down. You know, if you're struggling, saying, I've just got to go, and you don't get that 8 hours of rest, you think, you know, I'm accomplishing so much, but you're running yourself down physically. God not only does it in a daily, but we do it in a weekly. We kind of say, hey, it's really important that you take that seventh day rest. You know, just to let go for just a little while of all the stuff going on. Do you take a Sabbath rest every day, or is today a work day for you? I heard this great story. There were these two pastors. And this one pastor, he came up to the other pastor, and he said, I'd like to do lunch with you one day this week. Can we go out to lunch? And so they both pulled out their calendars to see where they could fit a lunch in. And he said, what about Monday? No, Monday's busy. What about Tuesday? You know, Tuesday busy. And finally, this pastor looked at him, what about Thursday? What do you have on your calendar for Thursday? And the other pastor looked at him and said, oh, Thursday, I've got nothing. And he said, good, let's do lunch. He said, no. He said, you're not understanding me. Thursday, I have nothing on my calendar. Yeah, no, I understood that. Let's do lunch. No. Thursday, I have calendared to do nothing. And he said, what? He said, I've been pastoring big churches, small churches for 20, 30 years. He said, about 2 years ago, he said, I had a massive heart attack. And he said, I went to the hospital, and the doctor told me, he said, the reason that you had this heart attack is you have just been going nonstop. And he said, if you don't figure out how to work rest into your week every week, he said, you're not going to make it any farther serving God. And he said, so ever since then, he said, I promised God that I would calendar and intentionally put down a Sabbath day for me, because he says, I work on Sunday. And he said, so on every Thursday, in every slot, he said, I write nothing, because it is my day to instead rest. And the guy went, oh, Thursday, you've got nothing. I think sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we've got to get serious about the commandments. How many of y'all would anybody here, if I just said, hey, this week, let's go kill somebody. Anybody? You wouldn't do that, right? If I said, hey, let's go rob, you know, the Buc-ee's. Anybody in for robbing Buc-ee's? You know? Hey, let's go cheat on our spouse. It's insane when you think about the Ten Commandments. If I said, hey, right now, I want you to stand up and take God's name in vain. You know, we would all look and go, no. But if I said, hey, this week, I don't know what you're doing, can you come in for some extra work? You can, well, maybe, right? Maybe I don't need a Sabbath this week. Maybe this week I'll just skip that commandment. No, God commanded it because he wants you to be healthy in your life. And if we're going to take such precautions to make sure we keep those other suggestions that God made for a healthy, holy life in Exodus, how about we take that one too and say we're going to make sure that we have a day where we do nothing. So number one thing is that God did it because it's good for our bodies. Number two, our good God gives us rest to teach us to trust him. To teach us to trust him. Let me show you Exodus 28 was that command. He said, on the Sabbath day, I'll read it to you. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you nor your daughter, and all the way down to your animals. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the seas, all that is in them. He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he said he made it holy. And when you think about that, here's what God's saying. He said, I was able to accomplish creating the world in 6 days and resting on the seventh day. He said, that was what I was able to accomplish. And he said, I'm going to dare you I'm going to command you, but really, it's a dare. I dare you to see if you trust me enough to say you can do more with 6 days with God than you can with 7 days without him. Do you trust me that much? Do you trust me? I wrote this down. I wrote down, a lot of times our lack of spending time in rest is really insecurity. It's insecurity. I don't think my needs are going to be met. I don't think I have a good shepherd. And therefore, I'm going to work hard on the seventh day when I don't need to, through the night when I don't need to. I'm not going to rest at all. I mean, we talk about a lot about morning and evening prayers, right? Morning and evening prayers. You pray in the morning, God, take care of this day. But at the evening, it's that time where you can trust God and say, God, I did as much as I can do today. I worked as hard as I could in my day. Now I'm going to trust you to take care of this until it's morning again. And we just have that moment of saying, I'm not going to be insecure and think, boy, I've got to do this. I'm going to say, I've got a good God, and I trust you. The psalmist in Psalms 127 said this. In Psalms 127, let me pull over to Psalms. There we go. Psalms 127 and verse number 6. Verse 6 says, in vain you rise early, and watch this, stay up late. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. My shepherd leads, feeds, and meets my needs. He's a good shepherd. But when I get into that insecurity, I rise up early and I stay up late, trying to provide for my own needs. Listen to this little promise here. In vain you rise up early, stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he, God, grants sleep to those he loves. He said, no, God loves you. God loves you. Rest. Yeah, here's the interesting thing. In Exodus 31:16, it talks about this Sabbath rest. And it says this in Exodus 31:16. It says, the Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now I want you to think about this just for a second. He said, I want you to take rests because it becomes a sign. Yeah, a big sign, a big neon glowing sign about my relationship with you and your relationship with me. When you take rest seriously and say, I'm doing rest because God says when I rest, it gives me an opportunity to see this sign about our relationship. And that sign says, I trust God. I trust God. I trust God. It's a forever thing to say, if you will rest and have it in the right mindset of going, I'm doing this because God loves me. God loves me. So I'm going to rest and I can trust him because he's a good God. Now that sign, it doesn't just shine for you. It shines for other people around you. Okay, right now, okay, without thinking, name one restaurant owned by a Christian family. Anybody can name one? Chick-fil-A, isn't that incredible? Now, I'm pretty sure that there are other restaurants out there that are owned by Christians. I'm pretty sure. How did y'all know that Chick-fil-A was one of them? Did y'all read something? Did you? What clued you off? You know, what made you think? I think Chick-fil-A is owned by a Christian company, Christian guy. Because they're closed on Sunday, right? Here's Chick-fil-A going, we want to put a sign out there about our relationship with God. We believe that in 6 days we can make more money selling chicken than we can in 7 days. And when they did that sign for themselves, it put a sign out in the world saying, we are a Christian company And just watch what the way we do things. Listen, that's the way it is in your life too. If you would start intentionally saying, God, I'm going to let my desire to find rest every day, every week, every year. You know, I'm going to find intentional times to rest and to think about my relationship with you. I guarantee someone's going to come up to you and kind of say, hey, can you do this on Thursday? And you're going to have to say, nope, Thursday I'm doing nothing, you know? At which time they're going to say, why? And it's going to give you that ability to show that sign. I do it because my God is good and he wants me to rest. And I can trust him that I can do more in 6 days with God than I can in 7 days without him. So that's the second thing. Now I want to go into the last one. We're going to bring in this in for a landing because we've got a Lord's Supper today. So number three, when we rest, it realigns us with the goodness of God. When we rest, it realigns us with the goodness of God. I want you just to think about that for a second. There is so much distraction in this world today. Amen? We've got phones. We've got TV. We've got the radio blaring. You walk into a store, there's advertisement. You turn on your TV. It's just constant. And for younger people and older people, both, the world is just go, 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 go all the time. And we kind of get into that rhythm of the world. Right? I mean, the rhythm, the world says go, I'm going. The world says make more money, I'm making more money. The world says do this, I need that, I need that, I need that. That's that rhythm of the world. And we get so involved in the rhythm of the world sometimes. This is what I think happens. And I could be wrong, but it feels like this is what happens. Is that God says, here's some goodness. I'm a good God. And I want to bring some still waters into your life. And I want to bring some green pastures in your life. But he puts it like right here. And we're so aligned with the world that it's to our back. And we're go, 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 go. And God says, no, just stop. It's behind you right here. I've got some goodness. Go, go. And then at some point we break down and we go, why isn't God a good God? And God says, it's because you're out of alignment with me. He'll just stop. Take a breath. Turn around. Look what I've done for you. I guarantee right now, there is the goodness of God in every one of your lives. I know it's because God's a good God. And if you're not seeing it, maybe it's because you're not practicing rest. In fact, that Exodus verse that we read just a minute ago, Exodus 31, it said this in verse 17, it will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And you kind of look at that and you go, you know, why does God need refreshing? But if you study that word in the Hebrew, right there where it says rested and refreshed, you know, this is what it actually means. He took a deep breath. Isn't that interesting? When he was creating, he was breathing out, right? He was speaking things into being. He was breathing the breath of life into Adam. So for 6 days, God was exhaling, 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 exhaling. And on the seventh day, he said, now it's time to get a breath. Get a breath. I think that's in your life, in your lives. You see, that's the rhythm of God. It's to work when it's time to work, but then stop and get a breath. And in those moments of getting a breath, God could look over those last 6 days and said, oh, it's good what I just created. In the same way in your life, if you'll just intentionally stop, take a breath and go, I want to look for God's goodness around me. You'd be amazed at what you see. Really amazed. This last month, I'm sitting there on my computer and came up on this thing that said, in 1 hour we're going to do a little training. It was from the Texas Baptist Convention on reaching out to your community through Christmas Eve. And I said, well, okay, God, I'll do that. And so, I got on there, and I think I've already told you, I said, man, I just really got excited about that. I was kind of going, I would love for our church to reach out to our community this Christmas Eve. But this Monday night, we had Fall Fest here. Now, Tony did an incredible job with Fall Fest, just an incredible. And she connected with the Christian school that meets here. And listen, we must have had 20 cars out there that were handing out, candy and stuff. Robert Berry, that's usually here, our resident children's magician, he came and did a magic show for us. We had a petting zoo. We had someone pull up and do hot dogs for us. It was just really, really a neat thing. And here's the neatest thing for me, is I didn't have to do anything. Okay, you're laughing, but as pastor of the church, do you know how often we do something that I don't have to do anything? I could just sit there, and I had a car, but Sarah and Hiro, they took the car for me, and I was able just to kind of walk around and look. Here's what God did during that moment where I was doing nothing. I just looked at all those families that were coming onto our parking lot. And I just started thinking, God, how many families are in our community? And look at them. They're coming here, just for something for their family. But they have such a deeper need than candy for their kids. But I just sat there and I bet we had 200 or 300 people come. And I'm just, as a pastor, I'm going, because I didn't have nothing to do, I'm going, wow, God, you sure are good. Wow, you got all these people and they're just coming to our Fall Fest. And then he just reminded me about our Christmas Eve service. And I said, if that could happen on Halloween, what if we did this right? Because God is so good. And we actually put on something that would pull the community in. And in our Christmas Eve service, we actually had that moment where we present the gospel of Jesus Christ to the community. And so I got fired back up about our Christmas Eve service. So in your bulletin right now, I'm going to go ahead and make my little announcement here. Look at it. I went ahead of you. I know it's November. I know it's not Thanksgiving yet. I know the turkey gets mad when Santa Claus starts taking over November. But I want you to see. There it says, a celebration for the whole family. Christmas at Waller Baptist Church, a snow hill, live music, a photo booth, hot chocolate, cookie decorating. Under that it says, come and celebrate the joy and the wonderment of the season this Christmas Eve at Waller Baptist Church. Sing traditional carols at our 45-minute candlelight service, plus stop by our Winter Wonderland before or after the service for an experience for your whole family can enjoy. There'll be snow to play in, yes, even in Texas, a snow hill for sliding, cookie decorating, hot chocolate and treats, photo booths for pictures. Everyone is welcome. We're going to put that all over town, because God is good, and he's got all those people out there that think they need something neat for Christmas, but really they have a desire to know their Father in heaven. But to do this good, I'm going to need help. I put on there right now, we're about, believe it or not, about 6-7 weeks out from Christmas Eve right now. Isn't that crazy? And I'm going to need some people praying for this. And I'm going to need some people saying, I'll be part of that outreach team, putting these signs out, getting Facebook ads out. I need people that say, hey, I want to be part of that team that's decorating cookies or watching the snow hill that kids are sliding down. Or maybe I want to help Chris in here for the candlelight service. Or I want to be on the follow-up team. Or maybe you just say, put me in anywhere, Blake, because I know God is good. And I want to be part of that. So if you want to volunteer for this, fill that out today. I'll have this out next week too. And in just a week or two, we're going to start forming these teams. But it all got excitement in me when I just stopped and looked around at the goodness of God. To conclude the service today, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. So I'm going to start inviting my musicians, my deacons to come up. I think it's interesting. In Luke, when Jesus was talking about the Lord's Supper, in Luke 22:19, it says he broke bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you to do in remembrance of me." And I thought about that today as we were going to enter in. Here's what God's saying, or Jesus said. He said, "Why don't you stop and remember how good I was to you?" And that's why our church does this. Our church just says, we need time, even in the rhythm of our church, to pause and think about the goodness of God. So the men are going to pass out the bread to you right now. And then I want to have just a moment where we pause and think about the goodness of God.